Malik Monk was exceptional tonight for the Sacramento Kings, but it all goes to waste. The Kings lose to Devin Booker and the Phoenix Suns here in the Golden One Center. We're going to talk about Monk's big night, Booker's big night, what the Kings failed to do in the fourth quarter, and De'Aaron Fox struggling to go toe-to-toe when the other team's star is stepping up. It's all right here on Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason today, presented by Prize Picks. First time users can receive an 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com. Promo code Locked On. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm a Sacramento sports producer and reporter for ABC 10 News. And there's only one way we're starting this podcast. Even with the Kings losing to the Suns 122-117, the only appropriate way to start this podcast is to talk about Malik Monk, because Malik was exceptional. And in reality, and I tweeted this out during the game, Sacramento owed it to Malik Monk to win this game so that he would get the national recognition that he deserved from this game. I'm talking multiple highlights on SportsCenter. His finishing around the rim was exceptional. His passing was exceptional. His decision-making was exceptional. He was a major spark off the bench for the Sacramento Kings, ended up becoming easily the most important player for the Sacramento Kings, and the only one who was willing to really go toe-to-toe offensively with what Devin Booker did tonight. Malik Monk was incredible. 30 points, 12 of 17 shooting from the field. He really got going in the second quarter when he went a perfect 6 for 6. I think he scored 13 points in the second quarter alone. Also finished with 8 assists. This is a side of Malik Monk that has really come alive here in Sacramento. Not just the three-point shooting Malik Monk. He's gotten back to the rim attacker that we saw in his time at Kentucky. I think it also helps that he's playing with his former Kentucky teammate, of course, in De'Aaron Fox. And the two of them have been spending a lot more time on the floor together, even though Malik was significantly better than De'Aaron this evening. But still, we've seen Mike Brown prioritize Fox and Monk minutes together. We're seeing Mike Brown, and he's done this consistently over the last few weeks, really all of the month of November. We've seen Mike Brown sub De'Aaron Fox out of the game around the 6 minute mark in the first quarter so that he can play an extended stretch with Malik Monk late in the first and early in the second quarter. And it's been working. But Malik Monk has shown more of a side of his game here in Sacramento that he hasn't really been able to show or gotten the opportunity to show, or maybe just hasn't shown, period, at any point during his NBA career. Malik Monk is more than just a three-point shooter. He is a very aggressive rim attacker. Now, he's done this at other times in his career, a little bit in Charlotte, did so last year with the Los Angeles Lakers at times, but a lot of people labeled Malik's primary skill as a three-point shooter, and that may still be the case, but overall, Malik is a very effective ball handler, and he's really good at finding his teammates. The 8 assists tonight, that's nothing abnormal for him. And he talked a lot about post-game playing with Domantas Sabonis and his two-man game with Domantas Sabonis and how the two of them work so well together because, one, Sabonis sets great screens. And Sabonis can work well with anybody on the floor. And you ask any Kings player, they'll say the same thing. It's easy to play with Domantas Sabonis. It's great to play with Domantas Sabonis. But Malik talked about Sabonis being a willing passer. And Malik also said he himself is a willing passer. That makes their two-man game very effective. And we saw when Malik was getting that first step, he was finishing with the most acrobatic finishes around the rim that we've seen really since Tyreke Evans here in Sacramento. That's an element of his game. I knew he was okay, like attacking the basket. I knew he was good in the lane. I didn't know he had the reverse layups in his bag that he was showing off tonight. I mean, it was just attack after attack after attack. Malik making the right decision, whether it was a tough finish at the rim, whether it was taking his time in the lane, finding the open man, drop off passes to Domantas Sabonis for a dunk or two. Everything that Malik was doing tonight was solid. And he was the reason for Sacramento's good push in the second quarter and one of the major reasons for Sacramento's big push in the early fourth quarter to try and steal this game away from the Phoenix Suns. Unfortunately, the Sacramento Kings wasted this game. Now, Brendan Nunez of the Kings Herald. You see him featured on the Kings Beat podcast, also the Kings Pulse podcast host. You've seen him and heard him many times here on Locked On Kings. He asked Malik Monk, I thought, an excellent question after the game, and I'm not going to lead any more into that. I just listened to Brendan's question, and I love Malik's answer.
Yeah, Malik, when it comes to your playmaking, 8 assists tonight, do you feel like you were always this caliber of passer and you're just asked to do it more, or do you feel like you've improved in that aspect?
Well, no, I've always been like this, man. I just never got a chance. And I thank Mike for giving me a chance to go out there and show everybody what I can do. So I'm going to continue to do it.
So Malik is saying that Sacramento is giving him his first real opportunity to show that that passing ability to his game that he hasn't really had the opportunity to show this point in his career, and the Sacramento Kings can absolutely use more of it. Now, let's talk about Devin Booker. We talked about Malik Monk, had to start with Malik Monk, but let's talk about Devin Booker. I mean, he was phenomenal in this game, 44 points, did so on 28 shots, and honestly, I thought that shot number was low, because I think midway through or like early on in the third quarter, he was at like 24 or 25 shots already. Like, Devin Booker he idolizes Kobe for a reason, right? And he has a very similar game to Kobe Bryant, including the high volume of shots that he takes. And Devin was getting almost anything he wanted tonight. He was getting to any spot on the floor that he wanted. I thought the Sacramento Kings did a good job of kind of forcing the ball out of his hands. Davion Mitchell, I thought, did a good job during the fourth quarter of making life a little more difficult for him. They did try and throw a lot of double teams at Devin Booker, and that actually didn't really work. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, I mean, Devin Booker, you can hate, but you also have to appreciate, right? Because Devin Booker drives me crazy in the sense that, like, you see him play and you see the whining and you see he plays with that chip on his shoulder. He's not necessarily known as the easiest guy to get along with. I'm not going to say he's a bad teammate or anything like that. But you see that kind of attitude that Devin Booker has. Some call it entitlement, some call it arrogance, whatever it might be. Whatever it is, it works for Devin because he puts up big numbers game after game after game. He was getting to his spots, and he really was, for the most part, the Phoenix Suns tonight. Now, they had another couple good contributions. DeAndre Ayton had a pretty solid game. I think his sixth straight double-double or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. There were a couple other Suns players that stepped up and played well for Phoenix, but really, this was Devin Booker's show tonight. It was Devin Booker carrying this team to this victory in so many ways, and it wasn't just him getting hot at different points of the game. He was this all night long, the entire night. Really, it was the fourth quarter where he slowed down because the Kings were kind of forcing the ball out of his hands, and he was actually making the right plays and making the right decisions down the stretch. But from the first quarter through the first half of the fourth quarter, when Devin Booker had the ball, he wasn't really passing it. Now, another element of Devin Booker's game that I think he deserves credit for, he had 6 steals in this game. I thought the Kings were playing sloppy at times, not taking care of the basketball, which has been a kind of consistent theme through the course of this 3-game losing streak that Sacramento is now on. And I actually asked Mike Brown before the game, I asked him if he had challenged any individual players or challenged the team to anything before this game, and he said he did challenge the team to take better care of the basketball and make smarter decisions. And then he also challenged both De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Sabonis to lead by example, but use their star ability to open up opportunities for their teammates. Going back to Devin Booker, though, 6 steals, that's very impressive for an offensive player like Booker, who's not necessarily known for his defense. He did a very good job on the defensive end of the floor, at least being crafty, knocking the ball away, creating steals, creating fast break opportunities for the Phoenix Suns, making up for the absence of Chris Paul. We know Chris Paul is really good at poking the ball away and creating steals and punishing on-ball defenders. So I give Booker a lot of credit for that. I also give Booker credit for his work rate. I mean, it looked like he played all 48 minutes in this game. In reality, he played 40 minutes and 39 seconds. That is a lot of playing time for Book. But the Suns needed him to play that much, and he didn't look tired, really, at any point. He was ready to go. And when he came out of the game, there were a couple points when he came out of the game that I wouldn't say Sacramento failed to take advantage of that. Actually, in the second quarter when he was out of the game, I think that was when Malik Monk and the Kings tried to put together a little run and get themselves going a little bit and build a little bit of a lead of their own. But maybe Sacramento didn't take as much advantage as they should have. Again, it was only 7 or so minutes that the Kings played without Devin Booker on the floor. So hard to take advantage of that small sample size. There were 2 major problems for Sacramento in the fourth quarter. The first one was the double teams. I understand Mike Brown and the Kings wanting to double Devin Booker with the night that he was having, try and get the ball out of his hands, force other players to beat you. And for the most part, it was working. Like they were forcing Damian Lee to beat them. Now, the problem was Damian Lee came alive from three-point range in the fourth quarter. He finished 3 of 7 from three-point range. 2 or all 3 of those threes were in the fourth quarter. I'm not quite sure about that. He finished with 15 points, but credit to Lee and other Phoenix Suns players for stepping up in that moment. But the issue that I have is with these double teams, I didn't feel like there was enough sense of urgency by Sacramento during these double teams. They were either closing too slowly or waiting too long to trap or waiting and a player or a defender would kind of start to creep over, and then once he got close enough then he'd try and pounce. At that point, Devin has surveyed the floor. He's finding the open man, and the Suns did a really good job of swinging the ball around the horn until they found the open man, and then they were hitting those shots from three-point range. Like, if you are going to double-team a star, he knows it's coming. You have to do it quick, and you have to do it with a sense of urgency, a sense of purpose. And then the three guys who aren't part of the double team need to make sure their head is on a swivel, keeping an eye on passing lanes and finding out how they can sometimes jump into those passing lanes or at least make life a little bit difficult for Devin to not just have a clear, easy bailout to whatever or whoever the open player is. I thought it was too easy for Devin to work his way out of the double teams, making them less... the positive was the ball was out of Devin's hands. The negative was that Devin was easily able to make the right decision, make the right play, and find the open man for Phoenix to take advantage. The closeouts, those double teams have to be quicker. They have to be more aggressive. Also, and this is maddening to me, this just makes me want to pull my hair out, and it's less to do with this season's Kings team, this year's Kings team, and more to do with just a Kings problem over the last 16 years, right, during this entire playoff drought. The Kings were struggling to get stops in the fourth quarter, royally struggling to get stops, especially with Devin Booker in the game. Even if he wasn't doing the one scoring, the double teams weren't working, Suns were hitting open shots, they were taking advantage. The Kings just could not stop anybody down the stretch during the fourth quarter. That's been a problem for this team for quite some time, right? Regardless of who's been on the roster, regardless of who's been coaching the roster, that's been a problem for the Kings. In crucial possessions, like the Kings down 3 with like 34 seconds or something like that, Kings played excellent defense. They forced the ball out of Devin Booker's hands. A lot of that had to do with the great defense that at that point, I think Harrison Barnes was guarding Devin Booker after Davion Mitchell put in a really good shift. And the Suns got a difficult shot off, missed the shot, and Phoenix gets the offensive rebound. How many times over this playoff drought have we seen this? Even if I can't punish this specific Kings team for this, it still is infuriating. And it's not just a Kings problem. A lot of teams struggle with this issue, especially teams that struggle rebounding-wise. But when you do all that hard work for almost 24 seconds on a shot clock, force a contested shot, do everything right, and then don't secure the rebound, it's inexcusable. Even if the rebound sometimes gets a friendly bounce and goes in the direction of a Phoenix Sun, it does not matter. You have to box out. You have to make sure after doing all that hard work that you secure that board and give yourself a chance. Because at that point, Suns get the rebound, kick back out to Booker, Kings out to foul, Booker hits both free throws, ball game's over. Like, it's inexcusable. And I know the Kings were beat pretty bad on the boards tonight, 45-37, 11 offensive rebounds for Phoenix. It could have just been one. But that one was backbreaking, absolutely debilitating. Domantas Sabonis took the podium after the game, and he was asked about just how close this team is, and especially against opponents like this who have a better record than the Kings. Kings are in these games, but don't always close these games out. And I absolutely love what Sabonis had to say.
We definitely have to change that. You know, we can't keep losing and saying, oh, we're almost there. There has to be a point where we got to finish the game, you know. And the good thing is we know we're right there. So we just got to do these little things and we'll get over the hump.
I love that from Domas. I love that from Domas. We cannot keep losing games and saying we're almost there. Love that. That's accountability. And he's 100% right with this Kings team this year. That's something that Detroit can get away with. That's something that Orlando can get away with right now. That is not something that the Sacramento Kings, this team that has proven that they are a good team with a 7-game win streak just less than a week ago, they cannot get away with saying, oh, we're so close, after every loss, especially when in a lot of those losses, they have a great chance to win, and extra especially when they're on your home floor here in Sacramento. I haven't even talked about De'Aaron Fox yet. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about the Kings' struggling star after I tell you about a great sponsor here of the Locked On Kings podcast, that is Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. Think Airbnb, but for cars. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. You can browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, UK, Canada, and coming soon to Australia. Book a special SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event like a birthday or a holiday, or hey, maybe it's prom night and you want to get a nice fancy vehicle for that. You can find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and you're trying just to get to, from point A to point B. Or if you're interested in an electric vehicle, maybe you're interested in a Tesla, you can test drive that new electric vehicle that you've had your eye on to see how it fits into your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms and conditions and exclusions do apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. I've already gotten a lot of tweets, already gotten a lot of emails tonight about De'Aaron Fox's game. 11 points, 4 of 12 shooting, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, an impressive 3 blocks, which might be a career high. I actually have no idea. And he only played 28 minutes and 43 seconds, rounded up to 29 minutes. That's not a lot for De'Aaron. Typically, he's in the mid-30s, mid to high 30s, being the Kings star. There are a lot of people that are going to look at the game that Devin Booker had, putting up 44 points, and say, okay, the Suns star stepped up and carried this team. The NBA is a star league. When one star is doing that, another star has to match. And to be honest with you, for those of you who have that frustration or who have that criticism of De'Aaron Fox's game tonight, it's hard to say you're wrong. It's hard to argue against you. In fact, I feel the same way in a lot of ways. I think De'Aaron Fox is struggling a little bit right now. Now, he got off to a ridiculously good start, and even though a lot of stars are able to put up big numbers and end up averaging big numbers over the course of an entire season, sometimes they go through little slumps. Sometimes they go through struggles. Now, the Kings cannot afford for this struggle and slump for De'Aaron to last longer than it already has. They cannot. Even if they had a chance to win this game because Malik put up 30, even if in past games, like they've gotten 31 out of Terrence Davis or 50 to 60 points out of their bench, the Kings cannot afford for De'Aaron to be in a slump longer than a handful of games. I agree with you. If you feel that the Kings star needed to match what the Suns star was doing, I agree with you. This is a stars league. When Devin Booker was having the game that he was having, I expect De'Aaron to pick up the sense of urgency a little bit. And I understand that De'Aaron is not a selfish basketball player. Devin Booker is far more selfish of a player than De'Aaron Fox is. De'Aaron wasn't going to shoot 28 shots tonight, especially when his best friend and Malik Monk is going off, especially when he has Domantas Sabonis by his side all the time, and Sabonis does such an excellent job running the offense for the Sacramento Kings, and Sabonis had a really good game. But at some point, you need to say, okay, I am the guy. Their guy is torching us. I need to step up. And De'Aaron did not do that in this game. And it wasn't that he was just struggling offensively. I didn't see that desire to step up. He took a couple shots late in this game. They didn't really fall. But I didn't see the give me the ball, I'm taking over De'Aaron even try attempt to come out. There were a couple of possessions where De'Aaron had a mismatch and he settled for a good look at three. He missed it. There's another one where he put the ball on the ground, attacked, tried a floater in the lane. He missed it. That was it. After those two fourth quarter attempts, I don't remember him doing really anything during that fourth quarter stretch. You need more out of De'Aaron. And I'm not saying De'Aaron had to score 44 points. I'm not even saying De'Aaron had to score 30 points in this game for the Kings to win. But you have to do better than 11 points when the opposing star literally is quadrupling your scoring total. 44 to 11. This is a stars league. You are the star. You are the leader of the Sacramento Kings. Even if you have more depth now than you've ever had before. And I've said many times, the Kings don't need De'Aaron Fox to be great every single night. But a lot of the times, the Kings still need him to be good. And De'Aaron Fox was not good. He's been fair to kind of good during this three-game stretch. And it's no surprise that the Kings are 0-3 during this stretch. They need more out of De'Aaron in these games. And I actually asked Mike Brown about this. I asked him about his thoughts on the Kings star needing to step up when their opponent's star is stepping up. Here's what he said.
Mike, building off of James' question a little bit, when some people might see the night that Book is having and say, okay, your star, De'Aaron, needs to kind of step up and match that. What are your thoughts on that compared, or especially when Malik is having the night that he had?
No, I'm sure Foxy would tell you the same. He's got to play better, and he's more than capable of playing better. I mean, it's ain't nothing to hide from or not talk about. You know, he's more than capable of playing better than what he did tonight. He didn't. We had other guys step up. We still had a chance to win, but we just didn't have enough possessions where we executed the right way on both sides of the ball.
Domantas Sabonis finished with a near triple-double in this game, got off to a really good start. He and Kevin Huerter, I'll talk about Kevin in a little bit here. Sabonis finished with 17 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds, a very efficient 8 of 10 from the field. Let me tell you the two problems that I have with this stat line. Number one, if you're shooting that efficient, and a lot of it had to do with like dunks and points around the rim and a really good two-man game that he was playing with Kevin Huerter early and with Malik Monk for the majority of the game. That's why he shot 80% from the field. Especially in a game where your fellow star, your fellow leader in De'Aaron Fox is struggling, if you're shooting that efficiently, I need more from you. This is a game where the Kings needed 20-plus from Sabonis. Even if he's such an unselfish player, even if the offense runs through him and he's such a willing passer, at some point you kind of want Sabonis to get a little bit selfish, especially when he's shooting as efficiently as he is. Now, I'm not knocking him at all for shooting 80%. I am knocking him for shooting 80% and only taking 10 shots. At some point, I know he's dealing with DeAndre Ayton, which is a lot of size to deal with in the paint, but at some point, if you're the Ox, you need to show that a little bit, flex a little bit, show a little bit of strength, take over in the paint at times. It doesn't have to be for a full game. It doesn't have to be for a full quarter. A two-minute stretch of Domantas Sabonis bullying everybody inside, forcing double teams, maybe getting to the line. The Kings could have used that tonight. So I love the 80% shooting, not a fan of the 10 shots. I'm also not a fan of the fact that he missed his triple-double because he didn't have 10-plus rebounds. Like, I know Sabonis shouldn't be expected to grab every single rebound for the Sacramento Kings. It's a rebound by committee thing, right? But the Kings are struggling on the glass tonight. Sabonis is the primary rebounder for this Kings team. If Sabonis is struggling to rebound, the Kings as a whole are struggling to rebound. If Sabonis is flirting with a triple-double, he should not get it because of scoring or not get it because of assists. It should never be not getting it because of rebounds. I expect double-digit rebounds for Sabonis every single night. To me, that's non-negotiable unless, knock on wood, he gets hurt or doesn't play enough minutes to secure 10 rebounds. But even so, we've seen Domantas Sabonis finish with 8 rebounds in 7 to 8 minutes in a first quarter before. Rebounding needs to be better from him and needs to be better from the team as a whole. So, as great of a stat line as that is, I need more shot selections and more aggressiveness, and I need him to be in double digits rebound-wise. Going to talk about Kevin Huerter. Going to talk about Keegan Murray. And the Indiana Pacers are coming to town next. Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers had a big night against the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll still touch on all of that before we wrap up today's podcast. But right now, I want to tell you about another great episode, or sponsor rather, of the Locked On Kings podcast. And the title sponsor of this episode, that is Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the number one way to play daily fantasy NBA. Instead of dealing with managing lineups and playing opponents that sometimes they have a clear advantage over you because maybe their stars play 4 times in a week when your star only plays 3 times in a week. Or instead of playing on those other sites where you go against sharks who literally make their living off of fantasy sports and outplaying you that sense and you losing your money to them. Instead of going through all of that, go through Prize Picks. It's you versus the house. And the way it works is you pick 2 to 3 players and you pick the over or the under on their projected scoring total. So tonight maybe it was 17.5 points for De'Aaron Fox. If you took the under as well as the over on Malik Monk's 18 points, then you win money. It's that simple. Again, you versus the house, you versus the numbers that Prize Picks sends or sets. You're not going against anybody else. You don't have to worry about the monotonous, frustrating, sometimes exhausting managing of lineups on a nightly basis. Prize Picks also has a great offer for you right now, and they don't just do it for NBA. You can do it for baseball. You can do it for football. You can do it for college athletics. They have so much that you can enjoy on Prize Picks. And if you sign up right now, first-time users, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get $100 back. You deposit $50, you get $50 back. It's free money available for you to go and win more money on Prize Picks, the number one way to play daily fantasy sports. If you're sensing a theme of a lot of positives and negatives from different players tonight, you're on to something. And I'm going to continue that with the way that I look at the game that Kevin Huerter had. Kevin and Sabonis both got off to really good starts for the Sacramento Kings. Kevin Huerter had 8 points midway through the first quarter. The problem is that whether it was him taking the foot off the gas or the Kings going away from him, they didn't really take advantage of that. And that didn't really carry over. Now, he did end up finishing with 18 points, 8 of 15 shooting, 0 of 5 from three-point range, which is uncharacteristic for him. And he has been struggling from three-point range over this this losing streak. Again, don't think that's a coincidence. All this stuff piles into the why the Kings are struggling and getting away from the offensive success that he had and they had as a team against, or rather during the seven-game win streak. But 8 points in the first quarter, you're getting yourself going offensively. You finish with 18 points, which is not horrible by any means for your starting shooting guard, except a majority of those 18 points after the eight in the first quarter were scored like late third quarter, early fourth quarter. So from the second to really third quarters, he kind of disappeared. Again, I don't know if that was him not being aggressive enough, or maybe he was just taking threes and they weren't falling, or if it was the Sacramento Kings going away from him. I thought he was very effective putting the ball on the floor and actually getting into the lane. He also did a good job passing the ball, finished with a few assists, also finished with 7 rebounds. So he did other things well, but I would have liked to see the Kings take more advantage of his hot hand in the first quarter, or more advantage of his hot hand over the course of the game, not just first quarter and a little bit in the fourth quarter. The Kings as a whole, though, three-point shooting-wise, they've been struggling. I think Katie Christensen pointed this out during Mike Brown's introductory press conference, but now in all three of these games that the Kings have lost during this three-game losing streak, the Kings have had just single digits in three-pointers. In every other game this season, they've had double digits. Now, the Kings went 9 of 25, which is 36% from three-point range, and that 25 number, Kings normally almost double that. They're normally in the high 40s to around 50 range. So that goes to tell you that they weren't shooting a high volume of threes, but especially in the first half. I think the Kings had 4 total three-pointers attempts, not made three-pointers, 4 total three-pointer attempts in the first quarter. By halftime, it was like 12 or 13 or something like that. I think it was a point of emphasis for the Kings to try and attack the Suns, get to the rim, and it was working for them for the most part. Malik Monk had a great game around the rim. Domantas Sabonis had a great game around the rim. But while this team doesn't necessarily have to live or die by the three, and I appreciate that they didn't die by the three in this game, that has been such an effective weapon for them, especially when it comes to spacing the floor. When that three-point shot isn't there, and when teams see that you're not even really prioritizing that three-point shot, they can pack the paint a little bit. I think that also might have had something to do with why De'Aaron Fox was struggling. I tried to put out there into the universe this morning that I thought Keegan Murray would bounce back and have a 20-piece tonight. He unfortunately didn't. Did, though, reach double digits, 11 points, 5 of 11 shooting from the field, a couple rebounds, did have 3 turnovers, only played 23 minutes, fewest minutes of any starter. I think that's the minutes that he's playing over pretty much the month of November. It's a drop-off of almost 10 minutes a game. I think that's pretty significant and kind of shows and speaks to how Mike Brown is handling the slump that he is in. But to see him get back into double digits, these are stat lines that I know he can be better. I didn't like some of his decision making at times on offense, settling for pull-up jumpers from the mid-range, or attacking the basket but not aggressively attacking, trying to finish with a layup and getting blocked instead of going right at it, trying to get the contact, maybe get to the line, or even finish through the contact. Was kind of shying away from that a little bit. So the decision making for Keegan Murray, maybe not the best right now, but still he was able to contribute, got into double digit scoring, which you will always take that, even if it's just 11 points. And to his credit, Keegan Murray did hit a big three in the early fourth quarter, I believe, that helped spark a Kings run when Devin Booker was on the bench to give Sacramento a chance to win this game. It started with Keegan hitting a big three. I think that might have been the only three that he hit in this game. I don't have the box score in front of me, so I don't know if that's accurate or not. Kings need more out of Keegan. Kings need more out of the Kings. Kings need more, period, especially against teams that are above 500. I think they're now 3-11 against 500 teams this year, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that. That's not great, especially with this tough stretch coming up where they have a six-game Eastern Conference road trip. I think most of those teams, if not all those teams, are above 500. And you have the Indiana Pacers coming in here with this next game. And the Pacers are 12-8 now after their win over the Los Angeles Lakers tonight. They defeated the Lakers 116-115. And, of course, when we're talking about the Pacers, we have to talk about Tyrese Haliburton, who makes his triumphant return. He had 24 points and 14 assists tonight for the Indiana Pacers. He returns, Buddy Hield returns. There's going to be a lot of emotions, celebration, a welcome back in some cases, but also maybe some fear from Kings fans, the expectation that, at least for a night, if not, if the Kings don't already, they will regret making the move that they did. I don't think the Kings will regret that move. I think the Sacramento Kings will win that game. I expect the Sacramento Kings to win that game. I also expect Tyrese to look great. I expect Buddy Hield to be himself, whether that means making a lot of threes or missing a lot of threes. He's certainly going to put up a lot of threes, I expect, in this building. And I'm looking forward to this game. Just from a media standpoint, from a storytelling standpoint, I look forward to this game. And, of course, we'll cover this game and do a post-game podcast and everything right here on Locked On Kings. So I hope you will join me for that. For right now, though, we are done. Thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Kings. Unfortunately, the Kings have lost three straight. It can't be four. Kings got to find a way to beat the Pacers here in this building, get back into the winning column, and light the damn beam again. It's been too long since I've seen that purple beam in the sky. Talk to you on the next episode of Locked On Kings. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.